Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 124. I'm Will Wilson, I'm your host this week, and with me is the esteemed, the amazing, the one and only Tracy Erickson.
Hello.
Okay, that's a little bit freaky, but we're all with that. That's fine. Yes, it's just us two today. Hang on. Oh, okay.
What's going on? I was in the bath. I was in the bath and I got sucked into this call.
Yes. So actually, we have now Rob Hearn with us, who's the editor of Pocket Gamer. He hasn't been on the podcast for quite a few months. So hello, Rob.
Hi, Will. Hi, Tracy.
Hello. Or have you come to fire me?
Yes, absolutely. I'm appalled that you've got another job. And it's the last straw.
Surprise! yes, I've just realised that Skype recorder actually cuts me off every time I add someone to the conversation. So,
we
all have a reverent silence, please. Hello, Keith.
Hello.
Tracy, Keith Andrew. It's our special guest star.
I'm a special guest.
Yay!
Yes, so we've got it's an unusual podcast lineup this week. We've got Tracy Erickson, who's here for his final ever, well, not ever, we'll probably have you on again quite a few times, I imagine, in the future. Tracy Erickson, we have Rob Hearn, esteemed editor, and we have Keith Andrew, who just got a mic.
I don't even work here.
Yeah, he turned up. Anyway, no, yes, Keith Andrew, he's from PocketGamer.biz, which is where John's from, who is currently in America. But I hope you're all enjoying, well, will enjoy this new fancy lineup, one-off special. And yeah, this week, let's go straight to the news. All right. Hello.
At the news.
Yes. First up this week on the news is that it is Tracy's last podcast. Because as Rob hinted at earlier, and in fact, I'm going to check I'm still recording. Recording is still on. Good. as Rob said earlier, it's Tracy's last week at Pocket Gamer. And he's also criticizing my sound quality. So there we go. It's his last week. So everyone, please raise a glass in salute to Tracy Erickson.
I can do that. I'm drinking a beer.
I am drinking a beer too.
Here you go.
Yes, Tracy. Which year did you join? 2007?
2007, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been 4 years.
Wow.
And in that time, you started off as the, well, sort of handhelds, right, with the PSP and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys know this story, because I always get asked all the time, how did I end up at Pocket Gamer? Which is a totally valid question and something that you would ask anybody. Oh, how did you get that job? And it's such a boring, like, I just emailed, I think, like, the general feedback and email at Pocket Gamer and said, hey, do you guys, I'm at GDC, do you want help? And at the time, Owen was still with Pocket Gamer and was like, sure. And that's how I started.
There you go.
That was it. So it was as simple as that.
So any prospective people looking to join, that's a good way to do it. Say you're going to a show. Yes, good tip.
Yeah, well, but of course, after the handheld period, you then became the man in charge of all things iOS and really kick-started because the site was one of the first to really embrace iOS as a gaming area, and you were right there on the forefront of the new area of gaming, which has now grown up to be quite possibly one of the most exciting areas in games.
I would say it's the most exciting area. You know, I have to admit, I was surprised that I was given control of iPhone stuff. I didn't think that I was going to be given control over it, and was very, I mean, I think you were part of that decision, weren't you, Rob? Or was that?
I expect you were around. I was around. At that time, I was doing what Will's doing now. I was mobile editor. Yeah. So I expect I was consulted. I expect I tried to veto it, but I wasn't. I didn't have enough power at that time. I remember at the time because we had a meeting at Chris's house, actually, in Uxbridge, which is part of London. We had a meeting, and every time we have a Pocket Gamer meeting, people have to sort of do these preparatory notes, you know, saying suggestions for the site and feature ideas and stuff like that. And in your notes, you'd done this big thing about how you were saying, I think iPhone gaming is going to be really big, and that's an area of the site that we really need to concentrate on, and I would like to be iPhone editor. And I remember Chris said, oh, I love Americans, because you were so sort of assertive about asking it. And I was there thinking, iPhone, it's just a gimmick. No one's ever going to want to play games on an iPhone, for God's sake. And you were right and I was wrong, as is always the case.
No, I'm not true.
Yeah, that is not true.
I do.
Cut that out.
I'm leaving that in. I'm going to use it in the future.
I mean, I definitely have taken risks. Like, I do take risks, and it pays off. And sometimes it doesn't. And I've been wrong. And I think one of the big things that I would say, one of the big lessons I've taken from my time with Pocket Gamer is knowing when to admit you're wrong. And that was definitely something I had a very difficult time doing at the start. Now it's like, you know, that's just part of being human. You make mistakes all the time. And learning to admit when you're wrong and to say, oh, yeah, I screwed up, or, you know, I would have done things differently.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we've got a really supportive and vocal group of commenters who are, you know, really, they're always very generous in their feedback about our reviews. And that's always nice, isn't it? To get really kind of bit of constructive feedback from a reader.
I've always been of the feeling, though, that I would rather have somebody say, you were way too harsh on a game, than for somebody to say, you're such a pushover and you like everything. Because if you like everything, then you really don't have an opinion, do you? Because, you know, why would I go to you if I already know that your answer is going to be, oh, I like it, I'm not going to you. So, you know, I've said this a lot over the last few weeks about, you just have to find a reviewer that, I mean, I totally understand that there are people that don't like my reviews, and that's totally fine. I mean, that's no skin off my back, because it's my opinion. But there are people who do agree with me. And that's great. You know, that's the whole point of being reviewers. You get people to that you find somebody who generally has the same sort of taste or outlook about games or movies or whatever, and then you just follow them, and then that way you can make informed decisions, because that's ultimately what this is about. And that's, you know, compared to the other sites that cover iPhone games, one of the things I've always felt is very important is keeping track of, hey, people have to spend money on this stuff. So if you're just constantly giving out nines and tens, you're not helping people to really make a decision as to whether or not they should spend $5 or, you know, 59p on a game. Yeah, it's only 59p, but it's still money.
Exactly. If there's any kind of ethical basis for what we do, and sometimes I think all critics feel this way every so often. They think, oh, this is a bit mean, my job, because other people, you know, put all this effort into creating something, and then I spend a few hours saying, you know, summing up all of those months' work in a number between 1 and 10, which sometimes can make you feel a bit bad about yourself. But if there is a kind of ethical underpinning, it is about that. It's about making sure people don't waste their money. And I totally agree with you about calibrating yourself with a particular critic. That's definitely the way I've always gone, and I think I would recommend that. Don't even a whole site isn't enough of a single voice. You have to find the guy who has the same taste as you, whoever that is. And just don't listen to anyone else, because ultimately it is, to some extent, opinion. And just find the guy or the girl and follow them.
That was a quick sort of a, yeah. Although it's always better if you listen to us as well. Right. Well, we wish you the best of luck with, because you're off to Unity.
Yeah, I was talking with Rob yesterday about how these when people leave jobs, they never say where they're going, as though it's like taboo.
Yeah.
To mention like two places of employment. So yeah, I'm going to Unity. What's interesting is I'll be doing a lot of the same stuff that I did for Poggamer, just not writing. You know, so I'll be communicating with developers who are using the engine. If you're listening, and you don't know what Unity is. It's a 3D game engine that runs on a bunch of different platforms, particularly iPhone, iOS, and Android. But I just found out I'm going to be doing a lot more travel, which is a little daunting.
That sounds exciting. So,
yeah, it'll be good. I have to move, though. That's the other thing. So I have to move to San Francisco.
Well, that sounds exciting as well. Well, yeah. Well, good luck. And obviously, you're going to be hanging around for the rest of this podcast. So we'll save the rest of the comments for later. In other news this week, there's been another iPhone 5 rumor, but I can't use my newly found ding sound effect on this one because it doesn't work. Yes, it's now called the iPhone 4S, and it's coming out in the future. Yeah.
Well, isn't the consensus that it's not coming out, but it's just a developer thing? It's just something that developers are using to try stuff out on.
Yeah, like it has the A5 CPU, and it's meant to simulate the iPhone 5. But then it has a bigger screen.
Well, yeah, I don't know. All these iPhone 5 rumors, they're so prolific that it's just noise by this point.
Yeah, that's why I'm summing it up with a ding. I think I might use the ding now, like when I edit this. So here we go. There we go. September. Thanks. I've been practicing my ding quite some time now. Yes, let's move on to other news. Order and Chaos has just come out. Boom. On the App Store. It's not the first MMO, obviously. There's been Pocket Legends and a load of others as well. But this is the first, not to put Pocket Legends down, but this is quite a big one. A, it's by Gameloft. Who are the biggest mobile publisher. And also, it is basically World of Warcraft, but slimmed down for a mobile device. And I bet you none of us have played it.
No. I downloaded it.
Ah!
I didn't have time to play it last night. I was planning on it.
When I saw it was up, I did think to myself, I should get that. But then I thought, I actually got quite addicted to World of Warcraft for at least 2 months. I thought it wasn't that bad.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I played it for 2 months. I bought the first month sub, and I joined a guild, and I power leveled.
Wow.
I talked to people. This is when I was unemployed.
Isn't power leveling where you get some guy in China to...
No, power leveling is where you just completely, utterly focus on leveling. So,
i.e. you're not going to the bathroom except for in a cup underneath the desk.
You know, I've got two friends. There are two people in my circle of acquaintance that I know of that use that method of human waste disposal.
Oh, you have got to.
No way.
They're actually more Rennie's friends, but
okay, so that makes
friends of friends.
Yes. Okay.
I won't name them. One of them's a friend of mine. One of them's a friend of his, really. But yeah, one of them he plays poker online, and he's quite. I think he's quite wealthy off the back of it. But when he's in these games online, he can't go away from his desk, needs to. He needs to have a bucket, which he empties. The other guy's just lazy.
I'm glad I got invited to these podcasts. This is very interesting.
You're learning about the human condition.
You ever gone to the loo in a bucket beside your desk before, Keith?
not since university, no. But, you know.
That's fair enough. Everyone does it at uni.
Yes.
But Order and Chaos, it's out now. They're using the subscription model, which, again, like Gameloft told us earlier on in the year, it's another one of their experimental pricing things. I think you're allowed to go on it for the first month free.
3 months.
3 months free?
I think it was.
Wow, they're really expecting people to get hooked, aren't they?
Well, they are charging. They are charging. Let me see. Let me order. They are charging, you know, a price, a fairly hefty price for it. I mean, it's not like it's free or anything like that. So they can get away with charging.
It's 99 cents.
With not, yeah.
A month, they're $2 for 3 months or $3 for 6 months.
I mean, compared to normal sort of PC MMO sub levels, that's actually very reasonable.
Oh, it's completely reasonable. And I think it's a great idea.
Mm.
Because here's... if you get the whole point of doing the in-app purchasing is it's a way for a developer to get more money from people who love the game in question. You're not going to get any money from people who don't like the game, right? Because they're going to buy it and they're going to play it for like 2 minutes and be like, I hate it, and they're going to delete it. So all the money is going to be made off of the people who are just obsessive about it. And this is what we see in like all these freemium games like Wii Rule and Godfinger and stuff like that. It's just this core audience. It's very small core audience that just keeps buying stuff. So the subscription model is great because I think it's a great idea because you're not fussing with all of these with in-game currency and stupid microtransactions for items that don't mean anything. You're just saying, hey, look, you want to play, then pay 99 cents a month. And it's such a small amount of money that, I mean, you could play this game for a year and spend, you know, £3.99. Yeah, I mean, that's not very much money at all. So I think people will understand that. I'm very interested to see how this goes because there was another game. What was it? Oh, it was Kingdom Conquest, Sega's freemium game. Mm. That was like a tactic. You reviewed that, Will. Really nice game. And I actually had conversations with Sega before when I had previewed it before the release and said, why not do a subscription model? You know, get rid of all of these little microtransaction items, these little in-app purchases. You're trying to make 99 cents off of three, you know, card packs. I don't think people are going to go for it. Like they would probably, you probably could get more money if you just charge 99 cents, 59p every month. Because people are be like, oh, okay, I can play for a month. I'll just plunk down the money.
Hmm. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if it works. Because I mean, the in-app purchase system as it is right now does work. People do like paying. I mean, some people like paying stupid amounts of money, for practically
the
goods.
I'm not saying it doesn't work.
It's also got
a bit
of a bad rap, hasn't it? It's kind of. Mm. It's a bit dirty. It's a bit like.
It is to us, but
it's also a matter of conversion. I mean, it's also a numbers game. I mean, these people are running businesses. So if you look at like NG Mocha's freemium games, it's called conversion. So how many you buy, the game is given out for free. What is the percentage of people that download and play the game that are actually going to spend money? That's called conversion. So the average conversion rate is incredibly low. It's like 2 or 3% at most. So if you have 1 million people that download Wii Rule and you only have 2% that are actually spending like 99 cents, you're not really doing very much there. And that's the problem. So the question is, can a subscription model get more people to buy something? I don't know. I would hope it would, because I think this is a much more straightforward way of selling a game, because people get the subscription model. I still don't think people fundamentally, you know, we understand how freemium is structured, but I don't think the average consumer gets it. And so they spend 99 cents, 59p on something, and they expect to get a lot more than what they receive. And so when their power cells run out, you know, or their mojo runs out, they get really pissed. And that's why you see all of these, you know, 1-star reviews on a lot of the freemium games, because they're like, well, I paid money, why didn't I get my game?
Yeah, it's true. It's a divisive issue. Talking of divisive issues, I'm practicing my links. They got a lot better over the last couple of months. Apple rejected a game recently. They always reject a few games. I'm sure they've rejected quite a lot of games, actually. But they've rejected a game called Smuggle Truck, which looked quite good when we first saw it a few months back, where you initially it was about a game where you try to smuggle Mexican immigrants over the border, the US, ensuring that they safely get there in their truck. But it was rejected by Apple. And it's now on the App Store, but it's been renamed Snuggle Truck. Get some cute animals to the zoo, presumably from Mexico. And yeah, it's basically the same game, but it's just got animals in it. It's like got a what is that? They're very small, sort of furry. They look more like soft toys to me. Mm-hmm. But yes, there's no catching the baby anymore. But there's probably a baby animal to replace it. So yes, it was inspired by frustration. This is according to Alchemy Labs. But it's by the frustration our friends have experienced of trying to immigrate to the United States. But it was apparently had stereotypes in it.
Yes, they tried to avoid it, but they were accused of racism, which I guess is why Apple just said, nope, not having anything to do with this. People think it's racist.
Mm. Are we going to take a side or another, or are we going to just sort of go, yeah. It still looks like a good game.
Yeah, it hasn't changed. What I really like is they released a video, Alchemy Labs, sort of explaining why, and they embargoed it for after the game had gone live. Presumably they didn't want to get in trouble with Apple or something, but they embargoed it till after it went live. But in the video, Alex Schwartz of Alchemy Lab says, Snuggle Truck will feature a group of cuddly creatures escaping the wilderness for the comfort of a zoo, where they are provided plenty of food, shelter, and state-of-the-art healthcare. I like the fact that he's obviously not trying to, he doesn't want to venture too far away from the original theme. And obviously it's called Snuggle Truck, and I don't think it's called Snuggle Truck. You know, obviously they've just done their best to kind of make it as close to Smuggle Truck as possible, in the hope that it would be approved and sort of make Apple look even stupider by putting it through, even though it's obvious. It's like when I was a kid, my friends and I, we went through a little phase of going, ship. I banged my leg. Ship!
Bollards!
Like that. You know, but we thought, this is perfect because we can do this in front of adults and they won't, they can't object. But we did it, you know, amongst ourselves for a bit. And the first time I went, ship! In front of my mum, I got a clip around the ear and that was the end of it. But this is the kind of equivalent of that. This is them saying ship instead of shit.
Totally.
But Apple is powerless to stop them.
Yeah, so but yeah, yes, it looks interesting. I'm sure we'll cover it very soon. Right, I think I'm going to cut out one of these news items I've got lined up for time. Right, let's go for, what should we go for? Should we go for Super Mono, or do you want Chaos Rings Omega?
Chaos Rings, that's a little bit more recognizable.
Yeah. Although the Super Mono game Drive Forever does look good, so if you
it does look very good.
Want to see some interesting screenshots, then do search for Drive Forever on the website. But we're going to focus on Chaos Ring, because Square Enix has said that there's going to be a new Chaos Ring game out, which is interesting, because interesting in the fact that they're now developing it into a franchise almost. Mm-hmm. And it'll be out next month, according to Famitsu, and it's called Chaos Rings Omega or Omega, or Umija, depending on how you want to pronounce it, correctly, wrongly, or weirdly.
Thanks for the options.
Thank you. I'm all about options. It's choice, free choice. It's one of the foundations of Western civilization.
You might say free will.
Are you?
Your name is Will.
There's going to be a Will who won't be quite so free tomorrow or today when you hear this podcast, though, eh, guys? Not so free, you see? He's going to be married. Anyway, that's the last time I mentioned the royal wedding.
I thought you were saying you were getting married, Ben.
We've already been through that, Keith. Yeah, I'm a free man.
We haven't mentioned yet, actually. Yeah, it didn't occur to me either. I'm with Keith, but we haven't mentioned that it's the royal wedding tomorrow.
Well, it'll be today because that'll be when
The royal wedding today. That's what I meant.
Has the royal divorce been scheduled yet?
Yeah, it's next June 20th.
And the royal death in the Paris tunnel is...
my God! Put the brakes on.
Oh, I think I might have to edit that one out.
That was good, though.
You know, Kenny Everett, this is how much times have changed. Kenny Everett, a British comedian, used to have a radio show and he was sacked. This is in the early 80s, for suggesting that, I think it was the Queen Mother or some other member of the royal family had passed a driving test by giving the driving a fiver. And if he got sacked for it these days, wouldn't even qualify as a joke. It would be edited out on the grounds that it was too tame and unfunny. How times change. Mm. Are you guys excited about the royal wedding in America?
Oh, God, it's all over the media. It's really kind of surprising.
Our media is just...
overboard with it?
I don't even watch the news. Oh, I normally watch the news every lunchtime, but it's just every time I switch on, it's just like, we're outside Westminster Abbey, which in 25 hours will be blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, shut up.
It's kind of tasteless because it's on the news all the time. You've got 24-hour news channels, obviously. And it's on the news all the time. And they're talking about the wedding, what people are going to wear. And every so often they'll go, and a bunch of people in Libya died. Or someone died in Syria. And, you know, the actual events have just been kind of subordinated completely to two people getting married.
I think that answers the question though, as you were saying that, as you were explaining the situation with the media over there, Rob, my question was, well, why are they doing that? And you answered it when you said, you know, they would kind of break away to cover, you know, the real stuff that's happening. The wedding is a distraction from reality. That's why everybody's latching onto it. Because the reality of the world is that there's a lot of really heavy shit going on. And it's very complicated situations in Libya and Afghanistan and even at home, right? I mean, you guys are dealing with huge austerity measures and we're dealing with that over here in the US too. And these people don't want to deal with these issues. And so I think the wedding is just sort of, oh my God, this is a time of joy, a moment of joy between two people, hopefully.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. And that's definitely how certain people see it and how the royal family, I'm sure, see it. And I saw somebody said on the news or on a website the other day, it's like a fillip for the nation. But that's true of a certain sort of segment of the population. But then there's the much more knowing kind of super trendy part of the population like me.
Pretty
tops.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yo, you heard this new band, man. Yeah, you seriously have to check it out. It's just like a maze, you know? Just making it up now. I'm sure that's not how they speak in Hoxton. Anyway, yes. Going back to games, though. Yes. Let's get back to the serious matter of games. Chaos Ring sequel. There's no actual details. Oh, wait, hang on. It may be a prequel. But it might not be. Yes, so we can probably expect something on a similar lines from Chaos Rings. I bet you this is going to be Square pushing up above £10. Have they already done that?
Oh, they have already done it, haven't they?
Bet you they push it up by another £2.
£15.
They are pushing it up, though, every single release.
Well, this is the company that does a screenshot gallery and charges like £3.99 for it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but they were high quality screens. Yes. So if you stay tuned, because that could be good. Because the original Chaos Rings is very good. Apparently, I couldn't afford it. Right. I think that's the end of the news. Let's go on to. Do we have a room mine?
We do.
Ooh. Let's go to the room mine.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Keith's first time.
Yeah, no, I listened to this earlier. This quite confused me, I have to admit.
What do you mean? I mean, you could see it now, right now, in front of you. You can see it. You yes. can see it. Yes. Yes,
don't take off that gas mask. Trust
don't
us.
Do that. Yeah. You got it on for a reason.
And those canaries, they all died of old age.
Yes, that absolutely. There's nothing. Just don't take off the gas mask, basically.
That one was just small. It wasn't young.
He wasn't running out of full-grown canaries. Yes. So what is that that's been scrawled in blood on the wall over there?
It's our three rumors.
Hooray!
The rumor miner's been on a roll. We've got another good week. Last week was pretty good. This one's. I don't think this week's set is quite as good as last week's, but pretty close. First one up. LucasArts is developing a multi-platform Star Wars game using Unreal Engine 3 that will hit iOS and Android.
Cool. That's because they actually recently announced that they were licensing Unreal Engine 3, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, sounds valid to me.
Yeah, that does sound pretty likely. And also, still need a decent Star Wars game on iOS.
We need a decent Star Wars game, period. We haven't had one of those in a while, have we?
What was it? That Republic Commando was good on the Xbox.
It was. That was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, I know, but it was a good game. If they released that.
You know, the tower defense game could have been really good. Keith, you played that as well. It was bad, but the concept is really good.
I'm trying to remember it now.
Exactly.
if I sneak off and pick up the review now, if you just carry on.
That battle for Hoth.
Yeah, I'm sure I liked it.
Well, it was the Windows Phone 7 review.
Yeah. Oh no, I didn't like it. No,
no, you hated it.
Oh, hang on.
So, I mean, how hard could this be? I mean, all they literally need to do is like copy one of the Gameloft games, one of the third-person action games. And then just put a Star Wars skin over it.
Or
that would be good enough.
Just port Jedi Knight 2. Not the original. Not Dark Forces. Dark Forces is a bit too old now. Jedi Knight 2 was awesome. So just do that one.
Here's a philosophical question. Is it possible to copy a Gameloft game?
Yeah, actually.
Or are you copying the game that game was copying, surely?
No, if you copied it, if you were a copy of a copy of a copy, you would end up creating something original. I think that's the laws of gaming.
Mm. I think there'd be a lawsuit involved, and that would probably be it.
It's the lawsuit of gaming. Anyway. Yeah. It's got a big enough universe and enough crazy fans to warrant such a move. I put myself in that crazy fan bracket before anyone gets offended by that comment. But yes. Well, what's up? What's up next in the rumor mine?
Well, there's an old franchise that a lot of people who've been playing games for a long time probably are familiar with. It's called Marble Madness. Well, Warner Brothers is looking to resurrect the series for iOS.
Oh God, no Marble Madness! I only have a memory of that on the Spectrum going. It's just really hard.
I never played it, actually.
Really?
Is that the one that was isometric?
Yeah, yeah.
3D, yeah. And, like blocks, and you had to. Yeah, I knew of it, but I never.
I think the original. Was it in the arcades? I'm sure there was a trackball version. Or I might get muddled up with something else.
Probably.
I remember playing on the Spectrum, it was just impossible to control. It's like Super Monkey
really Ball,
but for maniacs.
It was really hard. There have been a lot of games that have... Yes, it was in the arcade. And it was designed by Mark Cerny. Oh my God, I didn't know that. That man's brilliant. Yeah, there have been a lot of clones. So, you know, if they do it, I'm kind of interested. You know, how are they going to make it fresh again?
Marble Madness Evolution.
Or they could just do the stupid naming convention of iMarble Madness.
God, no.
Why do developers do that? I don't get that.
I don't know. Well, iBlast Mocky didn't suffer because of it.
That's a rare exception. It doesn't happen as much anymore, does it? It was more in the early days of the App Store. I was always amazed that it wasn't actionable. You know, I always thought Apple would have the trademark on, you know, small I, big next letter, but it didn't.
No, it couldn't have.
I think you're right. Yeah, iBlast Mocky seems to work. But, like, I think I'm more along the lines of, like, iTank Blaster. You know, the more generic stuff where it's like, really?
Yeah, those go in one ear and out the other for me.
Yeah.
I blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, hopefully not. Hopefully it'll be something like Marble Madness X Revelation 5. Skies of... What was that name? Damn it. The Air Combat one.
Skies of Glory?
No. It was even better.
Skies of Incursion.
Skies of Incursion. Yeah. Marble Man, the Skies of Incursion. There you go. I've called it. Boom. Anyway, what's the third rumor?
Third one I'm very excited about. Mirror's Edge 2, currently in development for iPhone and iPad.
Oh. That was one of the big... That was the first big iPad game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was when that was an iPad launch game. I did download it eventually. I downloaded it for iPhone 4. I liked it.
When it was 59p?
Oh, yeah.
It's 59p more often than it is in regular price.
When they first launched on the iPad, it was $7.99, I think. Somewhere around there. I bought it.
No. Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, it was.
It's like, oh, yeah, feel a bit sick about that now. They had it finished on the iPhone months before then, pretty sure.
It was finished in December.
Yeah. Of course, we can't say that for sure. It definitely was. But yes. Well,
I can say that for sure.
Yeah.
I played the whole game.
Oh, wow. I only played a few levels.
I played the whole game. They had sent me a handset, and we're like, okay, get ready, because we're going to release this in January. And then the second week of January came, and they're like, we're delaying this, so please don't post anything. And I was like, oh, okay, thinking, oh, it's just going to be a couple of weeks or something, right? Like, they just don't know when Apple's going to set it live. And then I never heard from them.
That was really annoying, because we kept having...
I was like, what's going on? They're like, we have nothing to say about Mirror's Edge at this time. Can you please send back that handset? Oh, okay, sure.
And then the first one was that, we had to spend a few months putting in Facebook integration.
Oh, I know.
You didn't. We're not idiots. Anyway, but Mirror's Edge. Does that mean that there's going to be a major Mirror's Edge game coming out soon as well? Or do you think it's, does the rumor line, I think it's going to be a iOS only? Because it was very successful in the iOS. Well, it wasn't quite.
You know, I asked him about that, and he didn't have a definitive answer, but he said that his guess was that there would not be a console game, which I would say that as well, given a couple things. One, EA's hesitation to commit to that specific title when asked on previous occasions, but also two, EA's been cutting the number of games that they've been releasing. The last couple of years, which is actually a good thing because it means they're focusing on quality. And so the games that they do release are the quality is increasing. So rather than just kind of, you know, part of the problem with Mirror's Edge when it was released on consoles was that it came out in the middle of a holiday season, which was the worst time to release a game like that. So I don't think they're keen on making that same mistake again. And certainly, you know, it just didn't sell very well. So. Yeah. I don't see it as happening.
I picked up my copy of Mirror's Edge for Xbox 360 for about £3, and that was about a year off.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow.
It nosedived because everyone just traded it in. So that was a new copy as well. So, right, I think that's the end of the room, mine. Let's go on to the what we've been playing fields. Who wants to start this week? Do you want to get him? Do you want to get involved, Rob?
Yeah, I can. I can tell you what I've been playing.
What have you been playing?
I've. So is this? Well, I should remember. As always, I've been playing games that mostly aren't contemporary. Although I did play Unpleasant Horse. Guess why?
Because you were spying on me.
No, because it was free. Because it was free, oh. Will. You don't know me at all. I downloaded Unpleasant Horse, which came out and is free initially, which is nice. And I gave that a little go. Seems all right. I agreed with your review. I thought it's kind of arbitrary. It's all just leaps of faith.
Yeah.
Seems a bit stupid.
Hey, hang on. You're preempting me here. It's going to be one of my ones.
Okay.
Never mind. But you can just say it. Don't worry. I won't feel betrayed.
It's okay, but if you say what I've just said, I will sue you for copyright infringement.
Oh, okay.
I've also been playing World of Goo. Yeah, that's modern. Just came out. World of Goo. It's quite good. It's actually surprisingly. It's not a bad game at all. I've been enjoying that. And I also downloaded. I'll tell you what was World of Goo though. I haven't been using the two fingers. I haven't been taking advantage of that.
Really?
So far, I don't know whether. Because I never played the other version. I never played it on PC.
Are you playing it on the iPad?
Yeah.
You will need to use more. Well, you don't ever need to use more, but it really helps in some of the later levels.
Yeah. Well, I keep thinking I should, but it just hasn't been happening so far. But yes, I'll let you know when the other hand comes into play. And I downloaded Time Geeks HD. I think that might have also been free. Mm. Quite like Time Geeks. It's relaxing. It was relaxing up until about 5 minutes in, and then I can't find the things, and I just go, stupid game. And I stopped playing it. That's what happened back in the day when I played it on iPhone, and it's just happened again with iPad. And that pretty much concludes what I've been playing. That's how I've been rolling.
Tracy. No, wait, hang on. If I do that, then I'll have to go next then. Wait, no, yes, no, Tracy. What are you in point?
Let's see. I have this nasty habit of deleting the things that I've been playing off of my phone, which means I didn't like them. I played the second episode of Back to the Future, which I have a love-hate relationship with, because as I explained in the review, you know, it's really nicely written, and they've done Telltale Games has done a really nice job of bringing the sort of feel of the movies into the game, and the character, the writing is really, really well done. The dialogue is snappy, and the puzzles are pretty good. They're pretty easy and straightforward, particularly in the second episode. The first episode had you do a lot of weird item combinations that were not necessarily, you know, typical adventure game stuff where it's like, I have no idea what I need to do. Like, why would I ever put a banana peel in, you know, an exhaust pipe or something? There's not a lot of that there's less of that in episode two, which makes it more enjoyable and more easier, which is, I think, good given the target audience. The problem is that the technical performance is just absolutely horrible. It's as though they literally just dropped the PC game or the Mac game on to the App Store and didn't make any changes for iPad. And, you know, this is become not just a, you know, it's become a reoccurring theme with Telltale Games. And it really bugs me. It's really annoying. And I really hope that they kind of look at their games and look at their porting process and make some changes, because they've got a lot of talent and they've got some great games that they're working on. But if they continue to just kind of dump games onto iPad with, you know, not very well, you know, thought out controls and a lot of, you know, stuttering graphics and glitches, they're going to end up losing a lot of fans. They're going to end, it's going to hurt them. So I really hope they kind of get their act together and start polishing up their games, because they've got some really good stuff that they're doing. And I would love to be able to recommend you know, recommend, you know, honestly, if it wasn't for those technical issues, if it wasn't for a really bad frame rate and crashes and things like that, you know, Back to the Future would have easily gotten an 8, but it gets a 7 only because I think it's worth playing because it's so well written. But it's just, you really do have to put up with a pretty bad technical performance, especially if you're playing on an older iPad. The other game I'm playing is it's called World to Conquer. It's a turn-based strategy game in the style of like Final Fantasy Tactics, which still has not come out. Which it sounds like it won't even. It sounds like that Chaos Rings Omega will be out before Final Fantasy Tactics, which I think is absolutely ludicrous. But this World to Conquer is actually nothing. It has the same gameplay style in terms of tactical battles, but it is so shallow and it is so disappointing. I was so disappointed when I started playing it, because it just, you do these tactical battles on this board full of hexes, and each battle is self-contained in the sense that you're just given a predetermined set of forces, and then you're told survive for 5 turns or defeat all enemies. And then each scenario is a set of battles. So for example, if I, you know, there's a scenario that has like 2 battles, and then I go into the first battle and it gives me 5 units, 2 archers and 3 swordsmen. Those are all the units I get for those 2 battles. So if 4 of those units die, I only have 1 unit left for the second battle of the series, of the scenario. So that idea is kind of interesting, because it forces you to be very cautious with your moves and very mindful of what you're doing tactically, because you have to keep the strategic concern of, well, I don't know what the next battle is going to be. You know, I have to make sure that I have as many units as possible. But it's just really slow. The game moves very slowly. You don't get to customize your units. There's no role playing involved in the sense of there's no character customization or equipment. You know, so it's just so boring. And I just wish it was more exciting. And I really still think that there's a lot of, I think I said it a couple weeks ago, we were talking about some other tactical game. There's really a lot of space to do a good tactics role playing game on iOS, and there have been some, like Mecha Wars, but on the whole, just nobody seems to do it. Nobody seems interested in it seems to be able to pull it off. And I think that's why everybody's so excited about Final Fantasy Tactics, because that's a good one. It's probably the best example of that genre. So if any developers are out there and listening, and you have an inkling to do this, I say go for it, please. we need a good tactics RPG.
I always find with the iOS strategy games, they always look like they're going to be quite a big, complex, or, you know, quite a deep experience. But whenever I actually play them, they tend to be, well, of course, I've reviewed quite a few Risk-type games, but it's sort of like they tend to not actually be that deep. And it sort of ends up a bit disappointing, because you go into them thinking, yes, this looks exactly like a good sort of game, good art. It's got a good presentation going on. It sounds good. The idea is good. And then you just get into them and you're thinking, just about, this is like very, very basic. Not got anything here. But anyway, that's a shame. Keith, I'm going to go last this week. Keith, I don't want to put you under pressure, you see.
Well, thanks to you, I've been playing lots of bad Angry Birds clones. But if we're talking iPhone, then Air Defense or A.I.R. Defense is what I probably spent most time with recently, which is quite good. Line draw kind of meets tower defense kind of thing. So not too bad, but a bit too up and down difficulty-wise, a bit too coasting, and then suddenly you're in the ship, as Robert said. But yeah, no, it's quite good if you don't play it for too long in a burst and you kind of don't notice. So yeah, but I don't really have time to play games. All this games you lot playing, I don't know how you do it.
You got time to play my fantastic Java games I give you every week.
Oh yeah, no, they're amazing. live and breathe those. I wasn't sure if I was allowed to mention any names. It's not gone up yet, so, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
As far as we all know, it's amazing.
Yes, it is an incredible Java game, and I'm sure all of you iPhone owners out there are going to be insanely jealous when you see what you guys like. Well, I will finish off this week's what we've been playing, Fields. I've been playing a few games, but I'm going to only talk about two, and I'm going to pick Unpleasant Horse, first of all. As Rob said, I thought it was all right. It's an okay game. There's plenty of room for improvement there. I mean, in presentation-wise, it's very good. The humor is dark, but it's funny. Although, you know, if you're easily offended, then probably seeing a pony cry as she falls down from being mounted by this evil-looking horse into a meat grinder is probably not going to be your thing. But for everyone else, it's quite funny. But it's too many random jumps. There's no real progression feeling. I mean, there's no progression in Cannonball either, except for getting faster. But the thing is that it has more of a flow to it. And the same with Robot Unicorn Attack. You feel like you're getting forward. Like, when you get further, you feel like, you know, with this, it stops all the time. Like, you have to wait on a cloud for a bird to appear because you can't see any other platforms. Or you go down to the meat grinder and there's like no clouds around. So you've got to leap off your horse, but you just have to tap anywhere on the screen and hope to hell that you land on a cloud. And it kind of takes away the whole sort of appeal. So yes, it's nicely presented and it is quite funny. And I like the usage of the Blue Danube by Johann Strauss II. But it doesn't have that magic ingredient which will make it one of the best, unfortunately. The other game I want to talk about this week, I might quickly talk about Galaxy on Fire 2. It just received the Valkyrie expansion pack, depending on how you want to say it, incorrectly, correctly, or wrong. It's quite an expensive for expansion pack, but it's Galaxy on Fire 2, so it's got a lot of content there. It's got a full story to go through, which features Keith T. Maxwell. In his with the T, he stresses the T actually. Anyway, and it's fully voiced, of course. It's Fish Labs, and there's lots of new equipment and ships for people to buy. Some of which are actually quite cool, like the guided missiles are very cool. Where once you fire them, you get to then direct them yourself using the iPad or iPhone. That's very nice. And the missions themselves are hard, and you can only play them after you finish the main game. So obviously they're going to be harder than what the original was, first of all. But yeah, if you've got a Galaxy on Fire 2 and you completed the game and you're still itching to get back into it, then yeah, it's a no-brainer, really. I mean, it's $2.99, I think, but it's big enough and long enough to justify that cost. So yeah, the other main game I'm going to talk about is Monster Trouble. It's got some bad reviews on the App Store, which is, I think it's a little bit unfair. Because I sat down and I quite enjoyed it. I think it's quite an interesting game. It's tower defense, but it doesn't feel like a tower defense game. It's just to get it doesn't feel stale because it uses it in quite an interesting way. It's very nice graphics, especially on the iPad where it's nice and blown up. You basically have to defend yourself against waves of monsters as you do on all tower defense games, but it's an isometric view, which is fully zoomable and rotatable. And you normally have a central area to defend, and you get a selection of people, and you can pop down towers and structures and put people inside the towers to attack, or you can move them around. So once you build a structure, that stays there. But if you want to put the peasant from the west side of the defense over to the north, you can do that instantly. And it's good. It's good fun. It feels more like a real-time strategy game. Obviously, tower defenses are real-time strategy games. I'm aware of this. But it feels more like a pure real-time strategy game than a tower defense subgenre game. I really enjoyed it. It's a good game. It's got lots of... it's hard. I won't mince my words there. There are a few missions which will get you stumped. And you're going to have to just sort of bundle your way through. But that's exactly how you should be feeling, really. You're meant to be defending against like tons of people. You're not meant to be feeling like, oh, I'll just plop down the missile tower here. So there will be missions where you're basically up to the last. You won't know if you're going to win or not. But I wouldn't say that's that's a particular negative. But I found it quite good. Whoa, sorry, I turned up the volume on my microphone to surprise me. But yeah, it's been getting bad ratings in the App Store, which is odd to me when I went and had a look at what the product code was after review. Yeah, ignore them. It's a good game. 8 out of 10. And with that, I will have to bring this podcast to a close. I need to find some music here. I'll put on... Actually, probably the smooth jazz probably doesn't work. Let's find something else. That's better. Right, yeah. So... The only thing I have left to say is thank you very much to Keith Andrew for joining us this week. Thank you very much, Keith. Thank you to Rob for joining us this week. And also, and most of all, thank you to Tracy Erickson, who's been on this podcast now for I don't know how long, more than me, hundreds of episodes. And it's been with, and yes, so. Thank you very much, Tracy, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Hear, hear.
Thanks, guys.
I think the heavy breathing must have been Keith there.
Tracy disappointed because if this were America, we'd all be like whooping and there'd be streamers and stuff like that, but we're British and we're very reserved. But you know that it's heartfelt. It's like Remains of the Day, this. This is, we're Anthony Hopkins, you're... Emma Thompson. Has anyone seen this film or read this book?
Yeah. Okay. Of course.
Yeah, it's horrible. And the reference is not hitting home.
Yes, we're the repressed butlers to your carefree house mistress.
Oh.
I don't think that's so.
Oh my god.
Yes. But yes, it's been great, and we from all of us, we wish you all the best of luck at Unity, and we will no doubt invite you back on many more times to come. So readers, if you're out there, or listeners even, don't worry, Tracy will be back. I'm pretty sure of that, unless something bad.
Unless there's a huge jump in traffic on the podcast and as you know, starting next week.
Precisely. If we have a jump in traffic, goodbye. No, of course not. I was thinking more about the whole Mayan 2012 prediction. But...
Oh my god.
Unless he dies. But he'll be back. Unless he dies. And on that note,
that's the end of the world. We'll be all gone. Anyway, on that pleasant and friendly note, yes, thank you very much for listening. And I don't know who will be back next week, but I will be probably on my own, still drinking whiskey to get over today's events and the world.
It'll be a good podcast.
It'll be an entertaining podcast. I wouldn't say it'll be good for me. Thank you very much, everyone, and good night.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.